Glory. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I believe the Lord's going to help us in the service. We want to go to 2 Samuel tonight. If you want to turn there, I want to say that it's our privilege to be here with you in this service. And we appreciate Brother Tim and Sister Leah and the work they're doing for the Lord. Don't you? How God has just blessed their ministry and put His hand and His seal of approval upon them and their work. And I'm glad to hear the good reports of what God's doing at their church.
Amen.
I appreciate Brother Tim. He's a great young man. And just desire to see him going on for the Lord. We appreciate the invitation to be here in the service with you tonight. So many friends here. And churches, people that we know, and we love y'all, may the Lord bless you. And we just trust that God will move in the altar. That's my prayer tonight, that God will move in the altar.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 3, if you have it tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 3. Then we're going to read just a little bit from Galatians chapter number 5. So 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1, just one verse there. Then we're going to Galatians chapter number 5.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. 2 Samuel 3 and 1. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said, "Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger. And the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker." Long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker.
Sure.
Galatians chapter 5 tonight, verse number 16-17. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. This I say, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." I want to preach to you tonight, if the Holy Ghost would be my helper, and if you would help as well. I want to preach tonight on life's greatest tug of war. Life's greatest tug of war. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your Spirit that is here in the house. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would add your blessing and your anointing to the preaching. I pray that you would stand this preacher in unity. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would touch the hearts of young people here tonight. Lord, I'm asking most of all that you would move to the altar. For if everything else goes flawlessly, Lord, there is no moving of your Spirit, then we have wasted our time. I pray that the Holy Ghost will have His way, that young people will be filled, that young people will be empowered tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everyone said,
amen.
Life's greatest tug of war. Let me start by giving you a little description of this text tonight. David is making his ascent to the throne. It has taken years for him to become the king, even though he was anointed king by God when he was just a boy. You remember the story, don't you? Samuel the prophet was told by God, take a horn of oil and go out to the house of Jesse. There you're going to anoint the next king of the nation of Israel. Samuel looked at all of them. Some of them were tall. Some of them were handsome. Some of them were strong. And he thought every one of them ought to be good qualifications of a king. But God every time said, no, that's not the one that I've chosen. Finally, Samuel said, do you have any other boys in the family? They said, we've just got one more. His name is David. He's a shepherd boy out in the field. They brought him in, that red, ruddy youth. And then God said, that's the one.
Hallelujah.
His heart after God had caught the attention of God. And now God anointed him as king. And now Saul is dead and gone. But the family and the supporters of Saul are attempting to keep David from taking his rightful place on the throne. And this battle for the throne went on and on and on. As some commentators say, that this fight went on for 5 years or more, as those supporters of Saul tried to keep David off of the throne. But we see now that
David's family is growing stronger and stronger and stronger. And Saul's family is growing weaker and weaker and weaker. And there's not a doubt in my mind that there were times that David grew weary and got discouraged with the battle. It was seeming like it was going on forever and they would never give the victory. But notice what happened here. And the Bible said that Saul's family grew so weak and David's family got so strong until David finally got the ultimate victory and reigned as king. Hallelujah. He took his place upon the throne. This great tug of war finally came to an end and David walked away with the victory and reigned as king. Hallelujah. And I want to talk to you tonight about a tug of war. It's not a tug of war that's going on between kings and queens. It's not a tug of war that's going on even in the physical realm, but it's a tug of war that's raging even now. And then you see, as we look at a tug of war, does anybody know what a tug of war is? Brother Jared, Pastor Rudder, would you mind to help me out here? Bring up that tug of war rope, just stretch it out across there. There you go. Look at that. Tug of war rope, that's great. Just lay it down right there. Beautiful. Wonderful. Let's give Brother Pastor Rudder a hand. The tug of war. You know, nobody's quite sure where a tug of war began, but it's obvious that it's been around for centuries, hundreds of years. Some dictionaries and historians relate the game of tug of war to rituals. Some even say that it was part of a religious contest years ago. It was used as a tribal contest, I found out, in several countries. I even read that the Vikings used to take animal skins and they would tug on them stretched across open pits of fire, and the losers, the weaker ones, would be pulled into the pit of fire and would be burned alive, and the other Vikings would cheer as they have won that tug of war. We know that even today, soldiers in our own military in America use the tug of war to build their strength and their endurance, and they pull men and women into the mud pits. The losers go in the mud, and the winners get to cheer about it. All right? A great tug of war. But what I'm preaching to you tonight about is not a physical tug of war, but it's something that goes on every day in our lives. We are living in an ongoing struggle between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh, or the carnal man, wants to pull us one way.
Has felt the tug
You can go back to the first people in the world, Adam and Eve, and they had an epic struggle over an apple, is what we call it. It was just the fruit of the tree, is all we really know. But there was a tug of war going on. Satan was saying, why don't you try it? Why don't you bite it? Why don't you take it? Come on, just taste it a little bit. There was a tug of war going on there. You come on down to a man by the name of Moses, and the Bible said in Hebrews that he had to choose between the riches of Egypt and then suffer with Israel. Amen. There was a war that was being pulled in his life. A tug of war that was going on. Remember old Achan? The Bible tells us that there was a tug of war in his heart over a wedge of gold and a Babylonian garment and some silver pieces. A tug of war was going on. Even old Paul felt the tug of war, for he said, the good that I want to do, I just don't do it. And the bad that I don't want to do, I wind up doing it. It's an eternal conflict, friend. If everybody in this service was honest, they would have to say, I am, or I have had a tug of war in my life. And everybody has to admit it. Amen. They have had a tug of war. Not only is it an eternal conflict, but it is an internal conflict. It goes on inside. Life's greatest tug of war is one that nobody else can see, for it is waged in the hearts of men and women. This tug of war is on the inside. Hey, help me, Holy Ghost, to preach tonight. Amen. That's why you think you're the only one that has ever fought this fight.
Thank you.
But notice the opponents in the tug of war. Praise God. Jake, you want to help me out tonight? Come here, man. This boy's been drinking Miracle-Gro. Look how tall he's getting. Grab a hold of that end of the rope right there. Just get ready for a tug of war. You ever had a tug of war before? Wrap that rope around your arm. Wrap it around your waist if you want to. Yours is little enough to go around. Wouldn't make it around mine. Just grab a hold of that. Get on it. Come on. Wrap it around his arm like this right here. Yeah, like that right there. Grab a hold of that. Yeah. Grab a hold of that again. You got it? Got it? All right, now. Oh, you don't want that. All right. You got a good grip now? Huh? Okay. Get your other hand on there. All right. The opponents in this tug of war, first of all, yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
You are the first opponent in this tug of war.
Yeah. Right.
Don't you feel little and insignificant sometimes against all the opponents that come against you?
Right.
Don't you feel like a child at times
that
you just say, I can't win. Look how big that is.
Right.
I can't overcome that. You're in the tug of war is what's going on. And when you get in a tug of war, you do all you can to win. You dig your heels in the dirt. This summer youth camp, one of the youth camps I preached, they had a tug of war between the teams. And those boys were digging their heels in the dirt. They wrapped the rope around their waist. They wrapped it around their arm. They grabbed a hold of it. They did everything they could. They wanted to win in the tug of war. Let me tell you, young people, something. When you get in this spiritual conflict and this spiritual tug of war, you've got to do everything you can to win. I said you've got to do everything you can to win. In the spiritual sense, you've got to do all you can. You've got to have a made up mind. You've got to have a determination. You've got to have a resolve. You've got to dig your heels in. There's got to be some effort on your part. You cannot just grab a hold of the rope and win, but you've got to try. You've got to fight. You may have to roll around the dirt, but you've got to put forth an effort. Help me, Holy Ghost. I'm tired of young people that don't want to put forth the effort. And then they wonder why they can't win for God. They wonder why they can't overcome temptation. You haven't prayed in a month. And they're not opening your Bibles in youth camp. I said, oh, you can't make it. You haven't had your knees in the carpet. You haven't put your nose in the board. You haven't prayed for the Holy Ghost since last revival. That's why you can't make it. That's why you're afraid to go back to school. Because you know I'm not paying the price. I'm not doing all I can. Let me tell you, young people, something. You cannot go on your parents' experience. You cannot rely on mom and dad. You cannot build on their foundation. You've got to get it for yourself. You've got to pray it through for yourself. You're in the tug of war. Your soul's in the balance. Your life's in the balance. Your home, your hope, your life, everything you'll ever have. I'm just opening the doors of my heart up here and being very transparent. I hope it doesn't hurt your opinion of it. Maybe it's already to hurt. It just needs help. But my pastor was Brother Gallagher. Brother Gallagher's a great man. Brother Gallagher stood for the truth in our church. He did. I'm telling you. I know it. Amen. I've seen some of them sneaking deacons try to get him in the corner. I've seen him. Push it on you. Just hold the ground there. Amen. Easy shot. Amen. I've seen him stand toe to toe with him and say, hey, this is how it is. I know it. My dad was a deacon for almost 40 years. A great man. But I'm going to tell you something. I could not go because Brother Gallagher was my pastor.
No.
I could not live for God because my dad was a deacon and a youth leader at the church. And Brother Webb, I kept falling. I kept trying to pray through and trying to live for God. And I keep falling back in the same old rut. And I come up dirty by the mud again.
you did when Brother Hyde was preaching again. I got a better grip on the rope. And I said, devil, you're not jerking me around anymore. You're not pulling me around anymore. And you're in a tug of war. You've got to get it for yourself. You've got to put forth some effort. You've got to pray for yourself. You've got to live up for yourself. Get your own experience with God. And say, devil, you're not going to pull me around anymore.
Put forth some effort. Well, no, Grim, I just can't live it. But you keep going back to the same old crazy websites. Paul can't live it. You keep running around with the same girls. That's why you can't live it. You keep chasing after the same boys. That's why you can't live it. Well, I threw my music away. I burned all my CDs and youth camp. I threw it all away. But you got it all on your iPod before you got rid of the CDs. You better take the iPod up too.
Satan is the chief one. Is there a representative for Satan here in the house? You're just a representative, sir. We know you're not Satan, but come on over here for a minute. Satan does not, listen to me now. Satan, y'all are amazed that Brother Leek is going to be in the devil for a minute. You listen to me. Satan doesn't want you to be a Christian. Satan doesn't want you to live holiness. Satan doesn't want you to have the Holy Ghost.
You're right.
The devil is pulling some of you around like Brother Holt's doing with this little fellow right there. I'm feeling the preacher get on me right here. That devil comes in and he starts pulling on the rope. And Satan's trying to do all he can. He's digging his heels in. He's got it wrapped around his arm. He's trying. He's getting frustrated. He's pursing his lips. He's getting serious about it. But you know what happens? The devil keeps pulling him around. And I can't do it by myself. I wish somebody was here to help. Overcoming sin.
you don't get victory in this tug of war, right, you're going to be pulled into the pit of fire. Young lady, if you don't get victory, we're going to lose you. You will not be part of the youth rallies anymore. You need to get some victory. You say, preacher, I'd love to, but I don't know how. I tried to pray for a youth camp. I gave things up. I tried to do all I can. But I keep going right back into the same tug of war. And I just can't win. But I'm going to tell you tonight, amen, you can win the battle. Amen, you can win the tug of war. You can overcome in this tug of war. You might be saying, I can't win. You may be so discouraged. You may be so distraught. But I came to tell somebody tonight, you have the ability to win. You can walk out of this place with victory in life's greatest tug of war. Right now you're doubting it. And then sometimes your parents doubt it. They say they'll never. You can win. You can overcome. You can be victorious. You say, how can I do it? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The power overcomes sin. But the Christ that's in me has got the power. I can overcome. I can triumph. I can win. I wish somebody would shout out.
Oh!
open right now. If there's a young man